Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Raising his eyes toward his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude and insult you, when they denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven, for their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. And woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for their ancestors treated the prophets, false prophets, in just the same way." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I tell you, brothers, the time is running out. St. Paul says to the Corinthians and says to us, we don't have all the time in the world. Doesn't mean that the end of the world is going to happen today, but it might happen today. But it does mean that we have to recognize exactly what choices we need to make, knowing that this world is ephemeral. It's going to pass away. St. Paul says at the very end of this passage, the world in its present form, in its present order, its present organization is fleeing away. And so we need to make some choices. Some of the times when we think things are going to last forever, we make choices to just try to keep it exactly as it is. St. Paul is telling us, no, wake up. It's not going to last that way. And that's why he starts to interpret some things here with that eschatological perspective, we would call it. That perspective really looking toward eternity rather than to the finite and to the evanescent of the day. "For now on, let those having wives act as not having them. Don't be satisfied just with marriage. There's another marriage you need to be focused on. Those weeping is not rejoicing. Don't just stay in a position of weeping. Look ahead. Those rejoicing is not rejoicing. Again, look ahead." We're going to get to this in the gospel, in the great contrast between those who are blessed and those who are woeful. Regardless, be looking ahead. Those buying is not owning. Sense, giving it away, because that's the only way you're going to be able to take it with you as you go. Those using the world is not using it fully. Because the great gift of the world, in order to use the world fully, is for our salvation and the salvation of others. A lot of the times when we're living a life of comfort, we can get anesthetized by all the stuff around. We can just start focusing on the 500 channels we have on our television to keep us from getting bored. St. Paul says, wake up. This present age is ending. The whole form is passing. Let's start living for what is not passing. Living according to the true order of things. And that's a great introduction to today's gospel. When Jesus revolutionizes the value systems by which most people live. He'd given the Sermon on the Mount on a high mountain. This is what it's called, the Sermon on the Plain. We can see that Jesus wasn't a one-shot wonder, that Jesus would return to similar themes. He'd stress certain different things from time to time, and we get a little bit of a different stress here in Luke than we do in St. Matthew. And it's much more direct. Four Beatitudes and four woes. First one, blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours, versus Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. You know, there are so many people who dream of winning the lottery. But how many use that same passion for God? Better for us to be poor so that we might receive our consolation with God than think that if we win that lottery, that that's all we were really longing for. Because not even winning all of the money in the world would be enough if we lose our soul in the process. And so what's it going to be? If we're living for this world, hey, let's play the mega bucks, baby. If we're living for the next world, thanks but no thanks. Second huge contrast. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied, versus woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Much better for us to hunger and thirst for what God hungers and thirsts for, to recognize that our desires are never really going to be fulfilled in this world. They're only going to be fulfilled in God. Than those, again, who believe that being filled now is all that's needed. There are so many people who live from meal to meal, who obsess about food, who obsess about drink. Some of the times you really think that that's their God. St. Paul describes that the enemies of the cross of Christ have made their bellies their God. And that can especially be the way here in the United States. You see many people who go from restaurant to restaurant. You see a whole bunch of people who are fascinated with greater vintages of wine, and they've got a wine cellar, which they're accumulating all of this stuff that they're never really going to be able to drink. As if that's a real treasure. What's it for us? Do we thirst for what God thirsts for? Do we hunger for the food that will last forever? Is our appetite for the Eucharist greater than filet mignon or for lobster? This present age is passing away. Time's running out. It's a time to adjust our appetites to the type of food that will help us to become healthy forever. Third, blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh, versus woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. In this world, it's very important for us to share the Lord Jesus' sorrow over so many who don't know Him, over so many who are abandoned, over so many who are living in sin in one of 1,000 different manifestations. Some of the times we can just think that life is supposed to be one long party and let's just keep the party going. There are many others who live according to their pleasures. The Lord Jesus is calling us to something higher. And with the words of St. Paul to the Corinthians, he's calling us to it urgently. This isn't something that we should wait to get right after the priest has come to give us the last rites. This is something that we should really start focusing on now, because the hourglass is running out of sand. Fourth, blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude and insult you, when they denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven, for their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. Versus, woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in the same way. What do we really seek? Do we seek the popularity? Do we seek everybody to like us? Do we seek to keep our reputation pristine so that everybody who speaks about us behind our back speaks positively? There are many people who want that, who can't take people gossiping about them in the back because they're doing what the Lord wants them to do, who are living in a way that calls them to conversion because they'll be talking about the goody two-shoes who goes to daily mass or anything else like this. Jesus is saying, blessed are you when you live in such a way that you're a scandal to the world. Blessed are you when you live according to the Beatitudes. Your reward will be great. And woe to you if nobody criticizes you because your example doesn't challenge them to convert. To convert in a positive way. One of the great dangers for us as Catholics as we think that this is really just for a few, not for all of us. The founder of the neo-catechumenal way, his name is Kiko Arguello, Spanish. The neo-catechumenal way has had an incredible burst of vocations. First, lay people living the vocation of holiness in their families, and then thousands, 3,000 new seminarians every single year. 3,000 seminarians. But it all started when Kiko Arguello was 17. Kiko had gone to a famous art school. He was trained by some of the great artists in Spain of the 20th century. And he had basically lost his faith there. And he had come home, and his parents were basically very good Catholics. His dad was a business owner, seemed to be a pretty good boss. His mom was a daily communicant. But one day, Kiko slammed down his cutlery on the dinner table, and he said, "I can't take this crap anymore." And he went up to his door. He went up to his room, slammed his door. His mom and his dad looked at each other and said, "What's going on with Kiko?" His dad said, "I'll go see." His dad came in, "Kiko, what's gotten into you?" He said, "Mom and Dad, you are just the biggest bunch of hypocrites. You claim to be a good Christian businessman. She goes to daily mass, and every single time we're at the table, what do you talk about? You talk about money." He pulls out his Bible, turns to Matthew 5, the other version of the Beatitudes, and he says, "This is what Jesus says. Is that you?" And his father said to him, in words Kiko's never forgotten, he said, "Kiko, the Beatitudes, they're just for Francis of Assisi. They're just for Dominic of Guzman." And so Kiko took the Bible and said, "Well, if it's not for all of us," and he chucked it outside of a second story window down into the backyard, saying, "Then it's worthless." That basically eventually led to his conversion, where he started to recognize that Jesus calls us all not just to know the Beatitudes, but to live the Beatitudes, to really start to grasp onto his values and to make the choices in accordance with those values. And we have to recognize this is a revolution. We can't live by the spirit of the world with all that the world seeks and live by the spirit of Christ. Like we were talking about yesterday, we can't be in the kingdom and suing our brothers and sisters in civil courts at the same time. Jesus is calling us to live in a totally different way from the way everybody else lives. Does that describe us yet? Or do we still think we've got plenty of time to get this right? Or that what Jesus says today is basically just for Dominic, just for Francis, just for John Paul, and just for the people who are nuts not to live by the spirit of the world, because listen, everybody else is living by the spirit of the world. You're not really calling us to be crazy, are you, Lord? The message of St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians is that we're supposed to be fools for Christ, and that there's got to be that separation from the values of the world because we identify with the values of Christ. Today we celebrate the 68th anniversary of what I think will go down, if the world lasts for a while, it's one of the most important events in the history of the world. It's called Inspiration Day in the life of now Blessed Mother Teresa. She was a teacher there in India for the Sisters for Loreto, teaching all the rich kids behind tall walls. But she was exhausted by her work, so her superior said, "You need to take a little retreat up in the Himalayas in a place called Darjeeling." So she got on a train. It was on that train that the Lord began to reveal to her what He was asking. He asked her to ponder all those people she passed on the way to the train, lying in gutters with no one to care. And Jesus opened up His heart to her, saying how sad He was that so many people were living without love and dying without love in the streets. How sad He was that so many didn't know about Him, didn't even know who He was. how sad he was that he thirsted so much for their souls and they didn't even have a clue of how much God loved them. So he asked Mother Teresa to share his thirst, to share his heart, to become his light, to be able to take him into those places where others aren't. And Mother Teresa followed him all the way. She became incredibly poor in order to care for Christ in the most distressing disguise of the poorest of the poor, knowing that the kingdom of God was hers and that the kingdom God wanted to be shared with those who were the furthest from being kings on earth. She now shared in his hunger and thirst for souls, and she sought with her whole life to satiate that infinite hunger and thirst of the Lord for others. She wept with the Lord over all those who were suffering, dying in pools of their own urine, having maggots come out of their pores. This is the way real people still live, and it touched her heart. And as a good Samaritan, she went and drew near rather than passing by the other side of the road and flipping the channel on a television set. And she even suffered for this. Many people thought that her example was scandalous because she was caring for those in dangerous places, doing things that women shouldn't do because it was too risky. And then even later, she suffered from the calumny of a lot of these radical secularists who said that Mother Teresa was doing this all with impure motives. She was only doing it to gain heaven for herself, as if she was not doing it in order to satiate the Lord's infinite thirst for us and for others. Her reward now in heaven is great. She was the one who on that train to Darjeeling heard the words of the responsorial psalm today. Listen to me, daughter. See and bend your ear. And she listened, she bent her ear, and she began to see Christ in the distressing disguise of the poor. Today the same Lord says it to us. Listen to me, son. Listen to me, daughter. Open up your eyes. See that this time is passing away. This present age is all going to disappear. Learn how to live so that your reward, like Blessed Mother Teresa's, will be great in heaven. Through her intercession, we pray that we might imitate her in becoming poor like Jesus, who had no place to lay his head, hungry like Jesus for us and for others, weeping like Jesus for those who are living in their sins and abandoned, and persecuted like Jesus for the sake of righteousness, because then all the hopes that Jesus promises will be fulfilled in these Beatitudes will be ours on a day that will not pass, but on a day that will know no sunset. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.